Welcome to the Church of Philadelphia podcast. Get ready for this message to ignite your faith as the power and love of God is shared through His Word.
And so I just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us. And I know we have our New Jersey location joining us. So thank you so much for being with us on this morning. So welcome. Just want to thank you because we know you could have been anywhere this morning, and we're glad that you logged in. You know, it's an awesome, we're going to have an awesome time in the Lord. We have an awesome sermon series that we've been doing, Alter Egos. And I just want to definitely just give honor to our apostle. First, I definitely want to give honor to God. Amen. I'm grateful that God woke me up this morning, and I hope somebody else is grateful that He woke you up this morning. Amen. And, you know, that's not cliche if you really mean it, to know that, God, I thank you. I have breath in my lungs. I have another opportunity to give you praise, to give you glory, to give you honor, oh, God, to acknowledge you being my God, to be the head of my life, oh, Father God. So, God, I just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, God. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope that's okay to give God praise. Amen. So we definitely give God honor. And I give God honor for our apostle. I give God honor for our senior pastor, our overseer, Pastor Lincoln Nelson, Prophetess Lady and their family, and all the elders, my husband, PT, and my children, all the pastors and elders. Amen. Ministers, leaders. And we definitely want to give honor to the body of Christ for everyone just being here. We're so thankful to have you. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get into the word. Amen. Amen. So welcome. Go ahead and get comfortable. Amen. And so we're going to go ahead. We have our catch of the day. And so here you can text catch to 704-741-7232. And you share part of the word that impacted you. You know, as you're taking notes, as you're saying, oh, wow, that meant something to me. A word, a phrase, the scripture, whatever God, you know, you feel is, you know, impacting you and you're going to use throughout the week. We want you to be able to text that because we want to be able to, it can help somebody else. It can impact somebody else's life. Amen. Amen. So throughout service, you can text that. Amen. So let us go ahead and do the decree for the word. Amen. I decree that my ears, heart, and spirit are open to receive the engrafted word of God, which is quick, alive, and powerful, active in the spirit of meekness. The ground of my life is fertile to nurture and grow the seed of God's word that will produce fruit in my life this week. I am a successful doer of what I will hear today, and I will leave here today full of faith, love, power, wisdom, and victory. Hallelujah. I hope you said it like you meant it. Amen. Amen. And we are in our sermon series about alter egos. Oh my gosh, what an awesome series has it been so far, you know, and I just want to do a quick recap. And, you know, we've been over this sermon series, and I don't know about you, but I know it's been really helping me. You know, we started off with changing our heart, you know, getting to the altar, allowing, you know, the altar to change our heart. And then even been learning about the pathway, you know, the way to the altar, how to get to the altar. And, you know, then we also been learning, okay, when we get to the altar, leaving that old, then getting that new, you know, learning about even with being altered and realizing, wait, we've altered in some things. So we need to get to the altar, A-L-T-A-R, so that we don't alter off course, amen, with A-L-T-E-R. And so just realizing, okay, God, I want to be an influencer for the kingdom and not an influencer according to the culture, you know, of the world. So we've been learning so much about putting on that new, you know, the new man and actually living it out, living out our change after we leave the altar. So we are going, you know, and we've been in our part, a mini part series with the, you know, being altered with our Pastor Lincoln and Pastor Ivan. So we're going to just take a pause for the cause. Is that all right? We're going to take a pause for the cause as we get into alter egos, keep the fire burning. Amen. Amen. So as we keep the fire burning, what does that look like in alter egos and, you know, getting to the altar and understanding? And so even what God was dealing with me about with keep the fire burning, He's like, okay, you know what? It's time to take this pause to say, let's go back to see what God was speaking regarding the altar. Amen. Amen. So if you can, please stand. Amen. And as we read the scripture, we want to honor God in reading the scripture. And as I'm going to just read the first scripture, and then you can sit, have a seat. So we have Exodus 20, and it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And we're going to go on to verse 24 through 26. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shall thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. And let's go on to Leviticus, please. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. In Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Amen. And so here we're going to Exodus. And I said, we are to keep the fire burning. And this says, and God spake all these words, saying, and so just to let you know where we are. We're in the book of Exodus, and you know, God is speaking to Moses and speaking to, you know, the people of Israel, and he is bringing them out. He is delivering them. He is setting them free. They've, you know, were in Egypt bound, but God is the one that is bringing them out. And so here it starts off saying, and God spake all these words, saying, and what we need to take note even this morning regarding keep the fire burning, understanding, you know, as we're dealing with the altar, know that God is speaking. It says, and God spake. You need to really reflect on, this is God that is speaking. Look at, what did God speak to you? Go back and reflect on, what has God been speaking? Because it says, God spake all these words, saying. So we need to take a moment, and it's okay to pause to say, God, you are speaking. Let me position myself in what you have spoken. Let me go back to what you have spoken. I want to encourage all of you to really take this time, even in altar egos, as we're dealing with, okay, building back up the altar and, you know, getting in position and getting in that place and, you know, allowing the culture of the kingdom, you know, being influencers for the culture of the kingdom. We need to know, how does that look in our lives, by saying, okay, God, what is it that you are speaking regarding me, regarding what I'm supposed to do in my walk? Amen. Amen. So as we're understanding that this is God that is speaking, be in a place to hear God. Amen. And so let us go ahead on to verse 2. So as it says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So here God is saying, I am the Lord thy God. I am the one that has brought you out. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And, you know, I said, God, he has to remind us sometimes, because, you know, we could have been in a situation, and that's why we're having to rebuild, you know, to go back to that place, you know, to go back to the altar, to get these things, you know, correct, to realign ourselves, because he says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out. He's having to let us know, I am the one that brought you out. It is not in me. It is not in myself, no self-help, you know, book, no, it is him. Our Savior, the one that has delivered us, that actually brought us out. And it says, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, right? Because he's letting you know that place, that specific place, and your Egypt might be different from somebody else's, but that specific place, it is God that brought you out of that place. And you, it's okay to name that, to say, this is the place that God brought me out of. But what also God does, he says, out of that house of bondage. But if we can be honest, sometimes it's like, yes, we know that was a hard place, but afterwards, our actions don't reflect that we were in bondage, don't reflect the hardship of that place. Like, the enemy will have us, and that's why we're having to deal with this altar egos, because the altar of, and excuse me for, you know, I want to go over the definition of altar. and even also alter egos. So the definition of alter is places where the divine and human worlds interacted, places of exchange, places of communication and influence, right? Markers of a place commemorating an encounter with God. And that is just speaking to the rememberings of an encounter with God, remembering, being mindful of that encounter with God, a place of sacrifice. And it's also called the table of the Lord by the prophet Malachi. Amen. And so even when we talk about alter ego, it's the second self of a different version of oneself, the hidden self of one's own self, and a hid inside of one's own self, a demon. And so even when it's that second self or a different version, so that different version of yourself. So as we're dealing with this alter ego, and while we're having to get back to the altar, that place of exchange, because even though God has brought us out of this, a place that we can identify with and that we know that has been named, that alter, that second version, that other version of ourselves, making us have this perspective and, you know, bringing to light that we forgot that, oh, wait, we were bound. That was a place, you know, that wasn't because, you know, you can be in something and the enemy and your second, that alter ego can make you feel like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Maybe I can go back. You know, it wasn't that bad. But we need to be reminded today, no, it was bad. It was, we were bound. It was a place of bondage. So don't let the alter ego to say, well, you know what? No, you don't have to do that, because remember, it wasn't that bad when you didn't pray. It wasn't that bad when you didn't, you know, deny your flesh. It wasn't that bad when you didn't, you know, walk in truth and seek after God. It wasn't that bad. No, it was bad. So we have to understand that I am the Lord thy God. He is saying, this is what God is saying. He is the Lord thy God. Ask yourself, is he your Lord, your God this morning? He is the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Amen. And let's go on to verse 3. And it says, thou shall have no other gods before me. And so I just want to speak on, even with this chapter, chapter 20, God is going over the 10 commandments. So this is what we're going over, the commandments. And commandments is what God, you know, it's for us to obey. It's understood. This is something that we need to obey. And these are the 10 commandments, what God is speaking to. And he's setting these, you know, these instructions, these, you know, rules, laws. God is setting these in place, this covenant with the people, with Israel, with, you know, and Moses. He's speaking to them saying, okay, this is what it is. And thou shalt not have no other gods before me. I want to go to, and even as I was studying and God was speaking to me about thou shalt have, let's go to the definition of have. And the definition of have is to keep control or experience as one's own, taking possession, to accept, to agree, to receive, whether willingly or reluctantly. So think about that as we're going over thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not have no other gods. And so even when we say, okay, well, and when we're speaking on have no other gods, no idols, anything, he's speaking to anything that would be erected above him. Thou shalt have. So it means that we should not keep or want to possess or try to have control over other things and take possession, take ownership. Look in your life. What are you trying to take ownership of that is getting in the way of allowing God to be in, that's trying to take the position and place of God? We're taking ownership of some things. And that's why it's important for us to, okay, wait, this alter ego, and that's when we've tilted and we've, you know, gotten off. And that's why it's so important to, you know, get to the altar, to keep the fire burning, because we have taken ownership and want to experience, you know, because it's like, well, we've come out, you know, we was in bondage and we had a hard time. So it's some, now we want to take ownership and possess some things that is now an idol and getting, you know, taking a place where, no, we should want to stand and take ownership of who God is in our life. Take ownership of your Christianity, take ownership of your holiness, you know, being sanctified, being set apart, take ownership of that, and not willing to lay that aside to say, okay, I want to take ownership of other things because I feel like I'm getting the benefit of in that moment, you know? And so even it talks about to accept. And see, so that's even what we've been learning about, you know, the culture of the world and, you know, understanding like, wait, you know, we've altered because even with the culture, you know, making sure we're in the culture of the kingdom, because it says to accept, to agree, to receive, whether willingly or reluctantly. And so that's for those, you know, for us when we say, well, God, I wasn't willingly, you know, like I didn't wholeheartedly like just throw my hands up and say, okay, I want to take on, you know, that ownership of just, you know, the fact to increase and have more money or whatever your idol, whatever things, other gods that try to come in the way. But it says whether it be willingly or reluctantly. So that's those that say, oh, I know I shouldn't. That say, oh, wait, but this don't feel that right. But still, it feel good just a little bit to be able to take ownership of that anger, to be able to take, you know, allow that anger to rule me, to allow, you know, whatever it is in that moment to, you know, idolize that. Reluctantly, I know my feelings, but I'm idolizing. I'm letting my feelings be my God because I don't know how to demonstrate self-control, self-discipline with my feelings. So I'm just going to just have to let everything out and just tell it like whatever it is, however I'm feeling, however this make me feel, that's where I'm going to go. Whatever the wind blows, that's what I'm going to do. Like that reluctantly, you know, so it's not just willingly, but even reluctantly, God is saying, thou shalt have no other gods. So even in that place of being willing and reluctant, have no other gods before him. And see, that's key because he's saying, you know, and it's things that God does desire for us to have, but there's nothing that we should put before him. Not your family, not your spouse, not your children, not your career, not things that you want to do, not even the promise, what God has spoken. Nothing, because all these things are able to be a god or an idol, something that is lifted up. And he's saying, no, don't have nothing before me. Amen. And this is important when it's keep the fire burning, because in order to keep this fire burning to that altar, to be able to say, okay, God, let this fire, let that flame keep going, we have to make sure that we're dealing with these other gods, these other idols that we have even willingly and reluctantly allowed to come in. And that's why we have to deal with that alter ego, because that second, that other version of ourselves, we've allowed it to let in other gods. That fear, that procrastination, that, you know, being undisciplined, like we've allowed, you know, excuses to be a god, to be an idol, to where it's before God. God is speaking this, but regardless of what God is speaking, it's an excuse why no, you know, why you can't, why, you know, why you can't walk in what God said, why you can't, you know, walk in the open doors, why you can't have the advantage and the success that God spoke to us as a body. Amen. So I really want us to look at, okay, don't take possession over those other things. Don't, you know, accept those other things before him. Be in a place, and see, that's when we keep that fire burning, and when we're at the altar, we will be willing to accept God. We will take ownership and want to say, okay, God, you, it's you first. Amen. So I really want us to look at that. So let us go ahead on to verse 24. And it says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings. And so here it's saying, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. And God is speaking, okay, these are instructions. Keep that fire burning. And this is why we need to say, okay, as we're, you know, the alter egos and just even understanding what God is looking for at the altar, what God is looking for us to do at the altar, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. And this is, you know, speaking to the simplicity of God is saying, when we're building that altar, when we are, you know, coming to that altar to build that altar unto him, first we have to look at, because it says, in the altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. And what we've been learning is there are altars we can build. And we've, you know, even been learning from last Sunday, there are altars that can be built, but is it unto God? So first we need to make sure we're building these altars, that we are building them and making them unto him. You can't even make an altar for you, like unto yourself. And you can get caught up in, yes, God did it for me. You know, God moved. But that what you're building is not, even though we're going to benefit from it, even though you're going to benefit from it, it's not, it's for him, unto him. Like, you can't say, well, this is unto me. You know, it's not for us, but unto God shall make unto him. Make an altar of earth. And even when it speaks to earth, that's speaking what he's created. Like, God is speaking. Don't try to add something that he hasn't not created to put in this altar. You know, we want to try to, you know, add the fluff. And there's a distinction. God is detailed. And God is detailed regarding his altar and things that he wants to be there and how he wants you to build it. That is a difference from, you know, and that's what we're going to go through these scriptures to really learn. And and I believe and I know God is speaking to this because it will keep our mindset focused, you know, on our mindset and our motives in building an altar. Like, are you building it so you can say, see, this is what God did. Uh-huh. Look at this. Look at that. You know, you want to put a fluff. Yep. Because he blessed me here. Yep. He increased me in this. Got this. Got that. You know, what is your motives? What is really fueling, encouraging you to build this altar? So that's why he's saying an altar of earth. Like, I don't need you trying to get a whole bunch of other things unless I say so. But even that earth symbolized that humility, that mindset of being humble as you build this altar. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings. So let's go to the definition of burnt offering right quick. And so it's burnt offering is in Hebrew olah, and it means whole burnt offering. Amen. So as we're looking in the scripture, and it's saying to build, you know, to sacrifice this burnt offering, this whole burnt offering, like even with burnt, and there are different things. And so even as it says in thy peace offerings, and what we have to understand is this is because this is God speaking and he's giving instruction. We have to say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to offer? He will tell you what I offer and what you offer at one time may be different. It may look different, you know, and see, that's why this is so, you know, personal, even though it's a collective, like, okay, all of us need to build the altar, go into the altar, getting it, you know, right before God, making our altars built unto him and willing to sacrifice, because we've been learning about sacrificing ourselves, being willing to, you know, sacrifice our flesh, deny, you know, sacrifice our perspective, you know, so God would say, that burnt offering. And so even when he's looking for that burnt offering, he's saying that whole. So he wants all of it. All of it needs to be consumed. So in this one visit, one altar that he's saying build unto him, and that sacrifice of a burnt offering, that perspective, he wants all of it. He wants the whole thing. Versus next time he may say, okay, you know, because God gives you wisdom, and say, okay, yes, now this is the wisdom of God, even in your perspective, in your mindset. So, but God will tell you what type of offering. It's the burnt offering. When he's speaking to that burnt offering to you, you need to know he wants the whole thing. He wants the whole thing. And thy peace offerings. So here in thy peace offerings, if we can go to the definition, it's shalem in Hebrew. And it's about requital, sacrifice for alliance or friendship. In this voluntary sacrifice of thanks. So even here in this peace offering, you know, we should be volunteering. We should be, you know, willing to give, to have that sacrifice of thanks. So in you building this altar unto God, are you willingly giving him thanks, willing to sacrifice a thanks? Or are you feeling like, okay, until you feel like you have something to be thankful for, that's when you'll give a thanks. You know, so God is really wanting to help us and keep that fire burning and get into that altar. As we are building the altar, really look at bringing that whole burnt offering, bring that whole thing that he is wanting to consume. And then thy peace offerings, to be, you know, willing to volunteer it. No one should make you to give a peace offering. You should want to have that, because remember we talked about, you know, the definition of what altar is, you know, that exchange is that, you know, you're making that remembrance, that that meeting with God, that encounter with God. So even just bringing that peace offering voluntarily, like, God, I'm just so thankful. And, you know, even how we started today, God, I'm thankful you woke us up this morning. You know, we don't have to wait for someone to say, are you thankful? But to say, God, I'm offering up this thanks. And it says, thy sheep and thy oxen. So this here, God is being specific on what he wants us to offer and to sacrifice. Because remember, we are that sacrifice. And it says, in all places where I record. And see, this is where it gets, you know, it gets good. It gets good, okay? So bear with me. It says, in all places where I record my name. And so I want to go to the definition of record. And the definition of record is zakar. And it says to remember, recall, call to mind, you know, to remember, to recall, to be brought to a remembrance and to be remembered, be brought to mind, and more even of the definition to cause to remember, you know, to mention, to record, to make a memorial, right? So in this scripture, it says in all the places where I record, in all the places where I record my name. This, and again, remember, this is God speaking. And, you know, when I was studying this and what God revealed to me, you know, I got so excited because I said, God, wait a minute. Yes, we are to, there are places, you know, and God is looking for us to, as we're building back up the altars in our lives and where God, you know, have met us and, you know, naming those places, right? But this here also says in all places where I record my name. So it's not just enough for us on our end. And see, this where it goes to that exchange, right? Because yes, we are to say, okay, God, yes, you are moving in here. And God, you are God, Jehovah Shalom, God, in this place. God, I build this altar to you. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I build this altar to you in this place. And it says in all places where I record. But at that point, also, we need to wait and allow God to be able to do that remembrance that he's want to do for his name. And see, some of us have been building altars and God did not put a record. He did not remember that place where we've tried to build an altar. He did not put his name where we've tried to build an altar. And this took me back to when MK, I tell you, when she did a teaching and she was talking about, you know, even from us, you know, coming to the altar and that commitment, you know, bringing our commitment. God is wanting our commitment back to the altar. But what is that exchange? Remember, she talked about, but we have to stay there for God to commit to us at the altar. And so that's that exchange that's happening again. When we are making these places to record, to bring back to remember, to reflect on the memorial, I need you to wait to make sure God is making a memorial himself with his name in that same place. And it's okay to say, okay, God, I believe I saw you in this place. I saw you in that place. But also stay there for God to say, yes, and this is what I'm putting my name on this place. I am making a remembrance in your life, in this, on in your path, in this, at this altar with this name. And also what God was speaking to me, because this is the thing, we will build altars and, you know, and there's nothing wrong. We will build the altars and we will remember and have that, you know, memorial, and we want to name it. But God is saying, I'm the one that's in control, right? I'm wanting to call this, okay, God, this is Jehovah Jireh because you are my provider. But God is saying, I'm putting my name. It's another name I want to put. Don't box God in how he's revealing himself in these altars as we're getting back to the altar. Don't box him in saying, okay, because, and we can do that because of our experience in our current situation. God, I need to see you being my provider. Yes, but you also need to see him as being the Prince of Peace, being, you know, your savior, your deliverer. Like he will speak and say how he wants to record his name. Let God record his name in that place, in that memorial for you, in that meeting with you, in that exchange. And this also speaks to, okay, God, he's speaking. You know what, God? We give up. It's another part. And we've been talking about that giving up control. I want to control. We, to be honest, we have been wanting to control what we name these altars that we've been building. But God is saying, give up that control, that full control. Let me record and name this. Can you trust him enough? Oh, God, hallelujah. Can you trust him enough in that experience, in that meeting, in that encounter for him to record and name? See, some of us are like, God, I don't know if you're going to remember this place right here. I don't know if you're going to remember what I experienced in this place, God. I don't know, God, if you're going to actually put your name on this place. So we try to get ahead of ourselves to say, God, this is what I want to say. But we got to say, no, God, I trust you enough in this place, because we're saying, God, I'm coming. I'm coming to the altar, God. I'm coming to be that sacrifice, God. What you want to name in this memorial, in this exchange, God, you put your name, God. Hallelujah. Come on, God. God, you put your name here, God. He says, I record my name. I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Ha, God, glory. We serve an awesome God. He's going to record his name. He's going to come unto us. That's why we got to give up this control and say, God, as I get back to that altar, as I keep that, you know, keep that fire burning, how does that look? Allowing God to record his name where he wants to record it. Allow God to build that memorial. Allow God to speak, God, to that place in your life. Allow him to come unto you, because he's coming. Somebody need to know today, God is coming. Ha, God, glory, glory. I need you to know he's coming. And what is he going to do? He said, and I will bless thee. Hallelujah. Come on, God. We serve an awesome God. He's coming and he's going to bless you. The blessing is knowing that we have an awesome God. The blessing is to know his word. That is what's blessed. To have that memorial with him. To have his name stamped right there throughout our test, you know, our walk. God is saying, I'm setting my own records in your life. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. And you know what's so beautiful about this? And see, you know, like MK said, this is not even in my notes. But when he said, I record my name, and you got to remember, record is to remember in remembrance. If we can be honest, some of the altars that we have built, we forgot. We forgot all that God did in those places. And I know we've been trying to get them back and say, God, Lord, and, you know, I know I didn't repent it, God. God, I'm not trying to shortchange you, and I know what you've done, God. But in some areas, God, you know, even in God speaking to the opportunities, you know, for us, God, I know some places that I forgot, Lord, you know, things that I built up to speak in. And I know you've done it, God. I forgot, God, to remember that. But see, we serve a God that's going to remember, because he said, I record, so he's going to remember. So even when you feel like I forgot, God did not forget. When you feel like, God, I did not remember, he said, but I remember where I put my name in your life, where I put my name in that experience and what you're going through and what I brought you out of and where I met you. I remember that meeting. He remember that time you prayed. He remember that time you called upon his name. He remember that time you cried out for help. He remembers. God says he remembers. I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Amen. Amen. If I know we got to go. We got to go. Lord, thank you, Jesus. But he's going to bless you. He's going to come there. He's going to bless you. Amen. And this is God speaking. And so even as we go to verse 25, and it says, and I will bless thee. And if thou will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. And see, this is where I told you God is very specific, and he's detailed. So even though he wants, you know, our motives to be right and how we're building the altar and what he's speaking to in the instructions, he said, and if thou will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. And so even what we have to look at here, God is very detailed about the type of stone. So he says, okay, first he said, because build an altar of earth, you know, and he says, okay, if you want to build an altar of stone right now, the altar that I'm looking for, it should not be built with hewn stone. I'm not looking for you to use that type of stone. So God is very, and see, this to just for us to reflect on as we are building the altar, getting to that place, that meeting with God, what we're bringing to God as we're building things, you know, in honor of God. He is giving instruction on what it is he's looking for. Take heed to the instruction. Take heed to the direction that God has given. You know, we've been crying out, God, I need direction. I need instruction, God. You know, and we've been learning even with instruction that correction is part of that. So take heed to the correction. Take heed to the direction he's given you. You know, and he's saying, if thou will make an altar of stone, don't build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it. And see, this is, he doesn't want you to use hewn stone because you're going to require more things. Because he says, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. And see, that's when we are doing too much. And I'm not talking about, you know, because we've learned, yes, it takes all of that. See, that's different. But when God is saying, okay, you're doing too much, meaning, okay, you're trying to, and that's the flesh, you're wanting to, and see, you know, like the Pharisees, and you, like it's the, this outward thing, like, okay, let me get some tools, let me show you this is what I got, because I'm about to pray this, I need this tool, I need that tool, I need this tool, and he's like, in the simplicity of your heart being humble and sincere, coming low before me, this is what I'm looking for. I don't need you to go grab a whole bunch of tools to lift up. Because, you know, and reality is when we get, if thou lift up thy tool upon it, because, you know, we say, okay, God, because that hewn stone, I got to change. I got to, you know, knock some of this off of that stone so it can be just right. And because that hewn stone, it has some edges and ridges and it has some things to it. And it's like, okay, wait, I see that kind of edge to it. Let me get this tool and knock that. You know, we do that, right? Like, okay, well, God, this is going on right now. Let me get this tool to knock some of this off of my life and this experience, what I'm going through right now. You know, but God is saying, I don't need you to put any tools on where you are right now. He says, thou, because if you do, thou has polluted it. Because sometimes, you know, when we get tools and say, oh, yeah, I did that. Because this is the definition of polluted. It says to profane, as in to violate, to treat a sacred place or object shamefully or with great disrespect. And, you know, what we don't understand, what we have to understand is you're like, well, God, I'm not going to profane, you know, God, I do respect you, you know, but you have to understand this is a sacred place. And to keep that place sacred, to keep that altar, that memorial, that meeting with God, that in that time of prayer, in the simplicity of keeping it sacred, God, like, I don't need you to add nothing else to it. I don't need you to take no tools and try to, you know, lift up, you know, your hands with tools and say, I had to do this and I had to do that. Because then it will then make that time, it will make it polluted. It will, you know, distract you. See, that's the reality. Tools can distract. And God is saying in this moment where we are, he's like, and so when we are, you know, in, you know, the field and doing things, yes, tools have their place. But God is saying right here in this moment of this altar that is necessary, I don't need you to lift up no tools upon it, because I need it to be just what I said and how I want it, because it will distract you. How many of y'all know that tools can be a distraction? You know, and you trying to, you know, keep your focus and say, God, I'm doing this, God, I'm, you know, wanting to see you here and, you know, apply this there in my life. It can be a distraction once you say, okay, I need to go get this. I need to go get that. God said, no, you know, I just need you to just take what you have right here, because we want to keep this place sacred, because time is valuable. Time is valuable. And we want to go ahead and, you know, get allowed us to build this altar unto him. And so we want to make sure that we are not, you know, polluting, violating, disrespecting that place, that sacred place with God. And disrespect can come in so many forms. And it's not that you are saying out of your mouth, God, I'm disrespecting you. I don't want you. But if you don't even take that opportunity where he's wanting to record and put his name, you know, because God said opportunities for us, and this is what's included. And throughout your day, if you don't take that, when he said, no, I want to record this right here. And if you are not open to that, that is being disrespectful. That is not keeping that moment sacred. and God wanting to record and God wanting to put his name someplace. When you say, God, this place, I'm just ready to leave it. I don't even want to know. But he's like, I want to put a remembrance. I want to meet you in that place before I bring you out. I want to meet you in that place. We want to keep it sacred. Amen. Amen. So even as we go into verse 26, and it says, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. And, you know, we're talking about keep the fire burning, allowing the fire of God, you know, even on the altar, what it takes, right? So it's neither shall thou go up by steps unto mine altar. And what God is speaking to this here, you know, like, again, I told you, he's detailed. Our God is a detail. He's very detailed, and he's given these instructions, the commandments, and saying, okay, this is how we are going to build this altar. This is what I'm looking for. Don't go up by steps. He said, don't go up by steps. And you're like, okay, God, why? What does this look like? Because he's saying the steps can make you prideful, can, you know, raise you up. You know, we've been learning about that, even though God is saying, you know, he's growing us, but we have to stay humble. God is looking for that humility as we build this altar, as we, you know, get before him. He's looking for that humility. And in order to keep that fire burning, look at your humility. We got to stay humble. We got to stay humble before him. Neither shall that go up by steps as you're building this altar, as you're, you know, speaking God, meeting God in this memorial. You don't need to be raised up. You need to stay low. You need to stay low. You need to stay humble. And he says, unto mine altar. Again, God is saying, who altar is this? It is his altar. To keep that fire burning, we have to make sure that the altars that have been built, that we know and speaking and naming them to be his altar. It is not your altar, but it is our God, Jehovah altar. He says, unto mine altar. So those altars of other gods and other things, this unto mine altar. And see, that can even help you if, you know, with the other gods and building and those idols and building altars, you know, even what we've learned, you know, from other, you know, gods and wanting to come in, they will boost you up to say, you can be prideful. Yeah, it's you, you know, that's doing this. You should shine. You should be seen, you know, so that can help you say, wait, what kind of altar is this that I just built? You know, is this an altar unto those idol gods? Or this is the altar unto our God, Jehovah. Is this his altar? Amen. And it says that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. And so even as God is speaking, because he wants us to stay humble, and it's not about us being seen, but it's about him being seen, his glory being revealed. It says that thy nakedness be not discovered. So even in that place of vulnerability, and see, God is not saying for us to, as we get on the altar and get in that place of meeting with him, yes, we are open, vulnerable, we are transparent. That is what God is looking for. But we have to, again, God is speaking to the motives. God is speaking to, you know, why is it that you're wanting to have these steps? You know, do you want everyone to see, okay, this is what I went, this, you know, this, what is your motives? You know, and so God is wanting to keep our motives right and pure before him. So he's saying that thy nakedness, that bare, that openness, that vulnerability be not discovered thereon. This is something that God is saying, this is between you and me. I need this place sacred. Amen. So you got to stay humble, because that humility will not, you know, say, okay, this is so that I can get some of the glory. This glory all belongs to God. Excuse me. Okay, so as we are still talking about keep the fire burning, we are going over to Leviticus. And we're here in Leviticus, and it says, command Aaron and his sons. So Aaron is Moses' brother, and he's telling Moses, God is telling Moses to command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And so God is commanding us to keep that whole offering coming, right? And it says it is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar. is your altar still burning? And that's why we're going to keep that fire burning. Have you let your fire gone out at the altar? I know we said, okay, because we have to offer up our whole selves. We're sacrificing all of us. Have you said, oh God, I can't give you all of me continuously? How many of us, because it says because of the burning upon the altar all night, can you take an all night of sacrifice? Can you take a continual unto the morning? And that's why we got to keep the fire burning. God is looking for you to be sacrificed all the time, from night to morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. God is going to consume to deal with you all the time. Why do we want God to stop dealing with us? Why do we want God to stop consuming some things in our lives? But God is saying, no. God is saying, mm-mm. I am going to continue to deal with this. I am going to continue to burn this up every day. I am. I'm going to keep burning this up. And so we got to get in a place where we're saying, okay, God, you know what? I won't let up. And see, some of us, we will push back when we say, okay, God, that fire is getting hot. That fire is getting, you know, too much. That place, that confrontation, that meeting with you, God, is so much, God. But God is saying, no, don't back up. Don't let up. Amen. And this is what God is looking for. He's saying all throughout the night into the morning. Amen. And so now we have. And so as he's commanding Aaron and his sons, now we're going to go to verse 12. And it says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. See, y'all, this one get good again. Amen. But, you know, all the word is good. We're grateful for the word this morning. Amen. But it says, and the fire upon the altar should be burning in it. And so here you have this altar where there's a fire and it's, you know, in a certain place. But even in that place of that fire, you know, it's not going to be put out and it's going to be burning at that place, at that altar, at that meeting, at that remembrance, at that that encounter with God. It's not going to be put out. And it says, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Every morning. Listen, what God was speaking to me. Are you willing to put in the work to keep the fire burning? Are you willing to do what you need to do to keep the fire burning? Are you willing to go and get the wood every morning to keep that fire burning? I know you're like, God, but it's getting hot. I know, God, you're consuming. I know the heat is on me, God. It's so much. But are you willing to go get the wood, what is necessary, that very thing that God is burning in you because you the sacrifice? Are you willing to go and get those things every morning to keep that fire burning? Are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to fast? Are you willing to get that scripture every day? If you know, okay, my faith, I'm struggling, God, in my walk, what I believe, God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Are you willing to get that scripture every morning? Are you willing to get it every day if you know your faith is low? Are you willing to put in the work to keep that fire burning in you, in your walk, where you are right now? Are you willing to put in the work? It says on it every morning. So the consistency, God is looking for the discipline in keeping and keep that fire burning. God is looking for the consistency and the discipline. It takes discipline, you guys, to say, I'm going to go out and get what it takes to keep the fire burning, to keep God consuming what he needs to consume, to keep my flesh at bay, to keep my flesh under subjection. I'm going to do what it takes. And the reality is we don't always want to do what it takes. We don't want to do it consistently. And God is not looking just on a Wednesday or a Sunday or when you're about to, you know, gather around the saints and the body and the people. But God is saying, can you do it on your job? Can you do it in the community when you're not around the saints, the people of God? Can you do it every day? Can you do it being disciplined when no one else is around? Can you still be able to get that wood to keep the fire burning so that you can have integrity when no one else is around. It says an order upon it. And see, there's an order to this offering, that whole thing that God is looking for. And he says, and you shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. And even that fat, that speaks of that good part, that, you know, that good part of that piece of your thanksgiving. So God is looking for that thankful, you know, and that's what, remember, it was volunteer. We should be volunteering how thankful we are, that peace offering. Does your thanks, is there a good part of it? Or is your thanks really like reluctant, like about time, God? I'm really not thankful, God, that you woke me up. I'm really not thankful, God, that you finally answered me, that I met you, that you're meeting me. I'm really not thankful. You know, see, God can discern that thanks. And we have to really look at, he's looking to burn that fat. He's wanting the sacrifice off the good part of your thanks. So your thanks does not always have to be good. And we have to make sure that we have a good thanks, because God is looking, he wants to consume that part. That's what he's offering. That's what's acceptable to him. That thanks that is pleasing to him. Amen. So even as we're keep the fire burning, being willing to do what it takes, right? And going on to verse 13, it says the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. This is what we have to understand, y'all. The fire should ever, excuse me, ever is talking about continually, perpetually, and to stretch. See, God, he's wanting to continually burn. He's wanting to continually burn in us, right? He's wanting to continually, there should be a perpetual burning, you know, a perpetual, to see God consuming. And what else does he want to do? There's a consistent of him stretching. I know you didn't want to hear that word, to stretch, but God is wanting to stretch out in you. He's stretching. That fire should ever be. So that fire, God is, you know, he's stretching that burning upon the altar. He's stretching that burning in you. He is wanting to stretch it out in you. And it says, and it shall never go out. We got to keep that fire burning. We got to do what it takes. Be willing to put in the work. It says the fire shall ever. So allow that fire. It's going to be continual. God, his flame, that fire, it speaks to the combustion, that kindle, that fire, that desire, you know, for God to light. God, that flame, he's the one that he's going to consume. And so we want to know that it's God that's continually burning. Allow that burning to take place at the altar. It should not stop. That sacrifice, it should not stop. Your sacrifice, your offering, your burnt offering, your peace offering, you giving of yourself, us, me, sacrifice and denying my flesh, it should not stop. In order to keep the fire burning, the fire of God in me, I have to continually bring my flesh under subjection, bring it to the altar, allow God to consume me, allow God to do his work, that exchange, to put down my flesh, to put down my thought process, my will, my emotions, my intellect, to put all that, allow him to consume my soul, my wants, what I desire, and to be able to exchange for his will, his purpose, what he desires. Amen. And then even as we go in, we're going to finish up with Hebrews, for our God is a consuming fire. And see, that consume, it talks about destroying all traces of and to do away with completely. And so even as the fire is ever burning at the altar, because our God is a consuming fire, hallelujah, Jesus, I need you to know that God is going to burn up. He's destroying those traces, but it's not a bad thing. This is for God to be a consuming fire. He's destroying all the traces of, but he is able. See, God, and I love God because he's so merciful, and him consuming and him, you know, burning up those traces and completely doing away with, but he's consuming us completely, but he's still making us into something that's beautiful in his sight, in his eyesight, for him to get the glory, for him to be glorified and to be exalted. So I want us to understand to keep that fire burning. Keep that fire burning at the altar. As we are dealing with the alter egos, not allowing the ego, that second self, that other version of what we thought we had to, you know, who we thought we were, what we thought we, you know, had to accept. No, God says, let him consume that. So to keep that fire burning, we got to allow the fire to continually burn. We got to be willing to bring the offering, be willing to be the offering, be willing to be the sacrifice. Know that you can keep the fire burning in your walk. Keep the fire burning as you're building up the altar, as you're exchanging, waiting, allowing God to meet you, allowing God to put his name, to record at that place, at that meeting with you. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to keep that fire burning. Amen. 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 So that is all I have. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in, and please make sure to visit us at churchoffilla.com for more podcasts and ways to connect with us on social, to like, subscribe, follow, and share content as it comes along. Special thanks to those who give in so many ways to this ministry. We could not do any of this without you. And if you want to give or be a part, visit churchoffilla.com/give for more information. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.